All right, who's ready to grow today? Are you ready to grow? Come on, let me hear you. Who's ready to grow? Put your hands against, I'm ready. Today we're kicking off a brand new series we're calling Now Faith. And I believe it's so appropriate that more than ever, we need a now faith. We need to grow in a now faith. You need to stand up in a now faith. You need a now faith to arise in your heart. You need a now faith to lift up your spirit. We need a now faith, a ever-present faith in our life. And so I want you to grow. This series is going to help you grow. It's going to help you stretch. It's going to help you walk in a deeper understanding of who God is in your life. It's going to help you walk in a deeper knowledge and a closer walk with the Lord. So I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready to learn, to go on this journey with me. Let's grow together. Let's challenge ourselves to go to a higher level of faith in our life. Amen? Let's go back to Hebrews 11:6. And it says, very important thing for us to realize, but without faith, it is impossible. Yeah, that word says impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. God rewards those who are using faith in their life. God rewards those who are using faith in their life. Without it, we don't please the Lord. So I'm going to ask you an obvious question, but I think it's worth asking. How many want to live your life pleasing to the Lord? It should be all of our heart's desire. It should be, I want to live a life that pleases God. And this is very clear. We don't have to get a biblical interpretation. I don't need to bring in a Greek scholar to explain this to me. It's pretty easy to understand. Without operating in faith in my life, it doesn't please God. And so God wants us to learn. This is why it's so important. We must learn how to please the Lord, how he wants me to live my life. Look at James 2:17-20. In the same way, faith by itself is not if it's not accomplished by action, it's dead. But someone will say, you have faith. He goes, and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. He goes, you believe that there is a God. Good for you. Golf clap. Yeah. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. He goes, you're a foolish person. Do you want to know that faith without works is useless? And so what we're finding out here, that it's faith without action, faith without works, it's dead. May I say this, that we have too many dead Christians walking around. We have too many people who are walking in and out of churches, back to their job, and they look like the walking dead going through life every day like this here, like a zombie hit you. No, you're called to live a bright life that shines bright before the Lord, full of faith, full of life. God has got a better life for you. God's got a better plan for you, and we unlock it by operating in faith in our life. I'm tired of the church being the dead people. No, it's time for us to come alive. Come on, don't let people silence your faith. Are you hearing me? Don't let social media silence your faith. Don't let people who have extreme ideas come in and silence your faith. Let's let the faith of God rise in our hearts today. More than ever, we need faith to be the foundation of our relationship, because it is. It's the foundation of our relationship. We've seen this all throughout the Bible, but especially in the New Testament, everything revolves around faith. It's the most important subject we find in the New Testament, is the subject of faith, because everything hinges on our faith. Look at this. Without faith, salvation cannot happen. How many think salvation is a pretty important thing? Without faith, it doesn't happen. Prayers cannot be heard without faith. God cannot be pleased without faith. So if these things are correct, and we know they are, then faith becomes a very important issue in our life, and we cannot afford not to know what we're talking about. Listen, if we have a good friend who comes to you and tries to give you good advice, And they say, hey, here's some great wisdom. Here's some ways you can grow. Here's some ways you can grow your finances. Here's some way you can grow your marriage. Here's some way you can raise stronger children. Here's some way you can really succeed in life. And they give you this knowledge, and this person's supposed to be your best friend. And they're giving you some truth, solid truth. And you look at them like, yeah, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what? Yeah, you just ignore them. How insulting is that, right? This person's supposed to be your closest friend, and they're giving you some sound advice, and you don't even consider it. You don't even meditate on it. You don't even try to apply any of it to your life. You just blow them off. That would be an insulting as a friend, right? You'd be insulted if you did that to your friend. I wonder how many of us, we treat God this way and don't even realize it. Come on, how many of us live our life and we treat God this way and we don't even realize it? He's here to give us life to the fullest. He's here to bless our life. He wants you to be blessed when you come and when you go. He wants you to be blessed in your family. He wants you to be blessed in your job. He wants you to be blessed in everything you do in your life. And he's got the keys right there. Faith unlocks it. Faith unlocks the giftings he's wanting to give us. Let's begin to perk up and let faith arise. Say, God, I want everything you have for me in my life. Listen, singing music, like we did today, it's a great form of worship. I love worshiping the Lord together with you. I love it when we raise our voices in song. I love it when the instruments join us and we're lifting our voice. How powerful are those moments of worship when we worship together? It increases. But let me tell you, the most powerful form of worship is not singing a song. It's living a life of faith day by day. That's the most powerful form of worship. And when your song is told to be quiet, your life of faith can keep going strong. Come on, we have states already outlawing singing in church. It's happening, okay? It's already happened because of the corona, we know that. But what I'm telling you is this, they can tell me I can't sing, but they can't tell me I can't live a life of faith. My faith will live shine great. My faith will shine great. My faith will shine great. And I am called to live a life of faith. And I want you to understand this. I want you to have a grip of it because faith honors God. Look at this. Because faith honors God, God honors faith. See, my faith, it honors that God, your ways are higher than my ways. God, I trust you even when I don't understand. God, faith honors the Lord. God, you are the God, the one and only God. My trust is in you. Faith honors the Lord, and then God honors my faith. It's a two-way street. It happens. But faith unlocks that honor from the Lord. Faith is fundamentally part of our Christian walk. It's something we cannot afford to be elementary in our understanding. Let me say it again. Faith is so important, a part of our foundation, that we can't afford to be elementary in our understanding of faith. So what I'm praying is that during this series, that your mind begin to get open and say, God, I'm ready to just have a clear definition of faith. Now, what I want you to do is realizing this, that even preaching series after series, and been preaching the gospel for over 20 years. There's so many things that I preached before and I'll preach it again, and God will show me new, brand new things every time. And see, this is what I want you to do. I want you to kind of take away a little bit of your preconceived ideas and say, God, I want a fresh vision of faith. I want you to speak something fresh into my life. I want to get a fresh vision of faith, and I don't want it to be tainted with anything in my past. I want to learn to see it fresh and anew during this series. How many will say you'll do that with me? Will you? Come on now, put your hands together if you'll do that. Good. We must grow in our faith. We must have a clear biblical definition of what faith is. See, faith is a lot more than just name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. You know, we call that hyper faith, where everything is just, you know, I can name it and claim it. And I'm all for positive words. You know, we've preached on that several times here, that there's power in our life and when we speak those positive words. There's nothing wrong with speaking positive things. But what I've got to understand, faith is a lot deeper than just spiritual confession. Faith is a lot deeper than just that. It's a lifestyle. It's a belief system. It goes beyond that because I don't get everything I name and claim. I'm not going to burst your bubble today, but I don't get everything I claim. Some things aren't for me, and God's not going to bring to me what's not mine. He will only bring to me what's mine. That's what faith does. Faith unlocks what's going on. See, faith is not holding God hostage. God, if you love me, then you'll answer my prayer. God, if you really care for me, show me this by answering my prayer. And let me tell you this, God has nothing left to prove to you and I. He has nothing left to prove to you and I. He proved it all on the cross of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he proved that he's all in. He proved that he loved us while we were yet sinners. He died for you and I. And he resurrected on the third day, proving he's been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he has nothing left to prove to you and I. So I don't say, God, prove yourself. There's only one area I'm ever allowed to say that in, and that's not in today's message, but it's about giving. It says, test the Lord in that one area and see if he won't bless you when you give. But other than that, we don't test God. God, I don't put you to, do you love me, God? Then answer my prayer. No, that is called immaturity. The mature by faith realize that God, no. You answer what you want because your will is ultimately what faith is about. It brings to me what God has for me. Look at this statement. The purpose of faith is not to accomplish the will of man, but the will of God. See, this is where we get mixed up. We want faith for what we want. But mature faith is, no, I want faith for what God wants for my family. I believe, well, I want faith for what God wants for my marriage, what God wants for my children, what God wants for my finances, what God wants for my, whatever God wants, that's what my faith is. I want to unlock what God wants for me. See, the purpose of faith is not to bring me what I want in my life, it's to bring me what God wants in my life. Listen, we all have prayers that we've prayed and they were not answered the way we wanted. We had desires we asked God for, and he didn't answer those prayers. And let me tell you, it's okay to mourn and be like, I'm upset I didn't get that job. I'm upset I didn't have that relationship. I'm upset the answer didn't come the way I expected it. It's okay to have a pity party for a few minutes. But mature faith dries up your tears and says, God, if you didn't bring it to me, it must not be for me, and you've got something better waiting for me down the road. That's mature faith. God, you've got a better plan. God, you got a better person. God, you got a better job. You got a better promotion. God, you got a better house. God, you got a better car. God, you got a better ministry. God, you got things waiting for me I don't even see. And so I'm going to walk through my tears, and I'm going to pick up my head, and even though I'm disappointed, I'm going to believe that, God, your will is greater than my will. And you've got something better for me. I just don't see it yet. How many times have we prayed for a promotion we didn't get or a job we didn't get, only to look back a few years later and go, man, I'm so happy I am where I'm at. I'm so happy that I got the job I'm at now. I'm so happy that I didn't take that job and now I got this job. I can tell you this room is full of people with that same testimony. It's because we realize that, God, you got a plan. And your plan isn't always my plan. Mature faith understands that and walks in that. God, you are in control. See, look at this statement. Faith will only bring to me what God has assigned to me. See, that's what faith does. Faith unlocks what God has for my life. It doesn't bring to me what God doesn't want for me. Faith doesn't bring to me what I want. Faith brings to me what God wants. That's what you got to understand about faith. And so I've got to use it to unlock what God wants. Faith lets me be at rest no matter the outcome, that God, you are in control of my life. Let me say this to you. Don't give up on God because he didn't answer your prayer the way you thought he should have. It's easy to get upset. God, you didn't meet my need. God, you didn't answer my prayer. And mature faith moves beyond that and says, there's a reason behind that. Because God, you've got something better for me. God, you're going to use this thing, and you're going to turn it around for my good. God, you're going to take this disaster, and I'm going to come out much better in the long run because I've walked through faith through the most trying time of my life. It's faith. God wants us to live in that faith. See, faith will bring to me if God wants it for me. Oh, you hear me? Faith will bring it to me if God wants it for me. This is where I learned to be at rest. Look at this statement. Faith won't bring me what I shouldn't have, but a lack of faith will cause me to miss out on what I should have. So faith won't bring me what I shouldn't have, but if I don't use faith, it'll cause me to miss out on what God has for me. You notice the balance there. So I've got to realize that faith unlocks what God has for me in my life. And it won't bring me what God doesn't want me to have. But I can't sit around and say, I'm just waiting for God to drop things in my lap and never walk in faith. No, faith takes action. Faith takes putting it into work in our life every day of our life. And when I do that, I'm going to unlock the blessing that God has for us now. This story in Matthew chapter 13, remember Jesus was out doing great miracles and teaching, and he'd called his 12 disciples, and now he's teaching, doing miracles, and people are coming. Now he's got more than just the 12. He's got 72 disciples now that are following him around, and people are getting, the crowds are increasing. And he goes back home now to do some teaching there. He goes back to his hometown, and look what happened there. So they were offended at him. They were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. Now, look what it says. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their lack of faith, he did not do the miracles he wanted to do there. You see, what happened was this. They had grown up with Jesus. They had seen Jesus. That's the punk kid living around this corner. That's the guy who installed our cabinets. That's the carpenter's son. That's my cousin. That's my brother. You know, and so they treat him with no honor. They had no faith in him because they couldn't see him as the Messiah. They only saw him as a snotty-nosed kid that grew up with all them. They couldn't see what God was transforming his life and preparing him for a place of bringing back the gospel. Now, so because of their unbelief, it didn't say he couldn't do no works there. It says he wouldn't. So it was a choice. He made a choice not to do many works there and miracles because they were without faith. Let me say this to you and I. When we choose to live our life without faith, God chooses not to operate there. God, I don't know why you're not working on my behalf. God, I don't know why you're not working. Could it be that we're not living our life of faith that welcomes God to move? See, faith unlocks the door for God to move in our life. When I choose to operate without it, God chooses to not operate there. It's a principle we see. Listen, we all need to let our faith arise. It's not that we got to have this great mountain of faith, because the scripture says even if we have a little bitty tiny faith as a mustard seed, we can move the mountain. The question is not whether my faith can move it. The question is, am I believing God for the right thing? Is it for me? It'll happen. If it's not for me, then God's got a different plan. And that's where we get thrown off. Well, I believe God for this, and it didn't work out, so it must not be real. No, that's elementary in your thinking, immature in our thinking. The mature say, no, no, no. God, your plan is greater. God, your ways are higher than my ways. See, it's because we see the lady who had the issue of blood. What happens? The crowd was around Jesus. They couldn't get to him. She pressed through the crowd, the Bible says. She crawled on her hands and knees and said, if I can just reach out underneath this guy's legs and get if I can just touch the very end of his garment, I don't even have to have Jesus lay hands on me. If I can just reach out on my hands and knees and touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? Faith tests me. That's what happened. And when you get faith, it said, if I can just get to the Lord, if I can just touch Jesus, if I can just be in the presence of God, things will change in my life. If I can just trust God for every area, I don't care if I got to press through the crowd. Because sometimes the crowd is always wrong. Sometimes it takes somebody who will press through and say, no, I'm using faith to get to Jesus. I want you to know faith will lead and unlock the door of blessing that God has for our life. See, everything we have is a gift from the Lord. It's a gift of grace that God has for you and I. But it's unlocked by faith. We receive gifts as grace. Every gift I receive from the Lord, it's given to me by grace. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. That's why it's called grace. He gives it to it. But it takes faith to unlock and receive those gifts. Let me give you an example to make this clear. Let's look at a popular verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So let me ask you the question. Did Jesus die for all the sins of the world, for all the people who's come before and come after us? Did Jesus die for all the sins of the world? Yes, that's correct. Jesus died for all the sins of the world. So let me ask you this question. Is everybody going to heaven? No. Why? Because the Bible says we must believe that he was the Messiah. We must believe that he was God's only son. See, faith is what unlocks the gift of salvation in our life. Faith is what unlocks that gift of salvation. You got to use faith to unlock it. And so, realizing this, I want you to think about this, because I believe that we start off our very thing, first thing we do when we become a Christian, is we unlock the gift of salvation by faith, and then for many people, we never use faith again. See, it started us off in our relationship with God, and it should sustain and grow and carry us, and we should learn to continue to use faith every day of our life. And as I do that, I can unlock more blessings, more gifts that God has for me, because my faith is what unlocks it. It's the key. See, what if I told you I've already gone to your bank and I've already deposited money into your account? And I deposit there, I set you up that you'll never have a need again. I set you up where you'll have plenty of money. All you got to do is go down there, show them your ID, sign the paperwork, and you can start withdrawing the money into your account whenever you need it to be a blessing to you. And you're like, Pastor, no way you're that good. No. You know, you're good, but you ain't that good. You're nice, but you ain't that nice. You like to give, but you don't give that much. And then what a shame would it be that that money would be sitting there for you to use and you never take the time to go down and start withdrawing it and using it. We wouldn't do that, but we do that spiritually all the time. God's depositing into our spiritual bank all these blessings, all these gifts that he's wanting us to unlock, to withdraw and use, and it happens to be used up. All I got to do is use faith. God, this is for me. God, you are for me. God, you're for my family. You're for my children. God, you're for my grandchildren. God, you got this for me. God, I want to learn to live my life in faith that unlocks what you have coming to us. It unlocks it. We need to get up every day and walk in this faith. Withdraw the promises God has for us. Withdraw the gifts and the blessing that God has for us already deposited into our account. The problem is simply this. The problem is we have a lot of Christian optimism and not a lot of Christian faith. We have a lot of Christian optimism. Oh, yeah, I believe God's going to do great things. Yeah, I believe it's all going to work. Yeah, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. It's a lot of Christian optimism, but not really walking it out in faith. You know, faith will produce optimism. It's a natural byproduct of faith. You'll be optimistic. It encourages you. It lets you see what God is going to do in the future. But optimism by itself is dead. Faith without works is dead. See, faith is more than that. Faith says, I'm going to live it out like I believe it. Faith says, I'm going to live your word like I believe every word that's written in the word of God for my life. Faith says, I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to live it out. I'm going to put it into action. God, I believe you're going to bless my finances. God, I believe you're going to bless my finances. God, I believe you're going to bless my finances. Ooh, I tell you what, let me tell you, one day, when I get blessed, I'm going to be a blessing to the church. I'm going to be a blessing to this ministry. I'm going to help out starving kids, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. No, you won't. It starts by action. I take the little bit I've been given now, and I start giving what God's asked me to give. Then I believe, God, as I'm being obedient, God, you're going to bless me with even more. God, as I'm being a good steward of what you give me, you're going to bring into my house even more because I am honoring the Lord with what he's given me. That's faith in action. Faith doesn't say, well, I lost my job, but woo, all right, God's got a better job for me. And I'm just going to sit here and watch Netflix until I get a better job. Don't discourage me. It's coming. Hallelujah. It's coming about season 2 of Breaking Bad. It's going to be right there. And if not, yeah, you know what I'm saying, okay? No, that's not faith. Faith says, all right, I lost my job. God, you got something else. But until then, I'm going to get online. I'm going to fill some applications out. And then I'm going to go knocking on some doors. I'm going to go ask some managers, are you hiring? I'm going to ask friends. I'm going to get out there and let the right door open up for me. God, you got it for me. But I don't sit around and wait. No, I do my part and let God do the rest. It's faith in action. Faith in action. Are you following me here? Let me give you some very important principles as we get ready to close. If you're listening online today, I want you to really pull in close to what I'm saying. This is so important for all of us to hear. That every level breakthrough that you want of faith, every time you want to have a breakthrough in faith, it's going to happen because you spent time encouraging yourself in the Lord. Every breakthrough of faith is going to come when you had to get alone with God and encourage yourself in the Lord. And what that simply means is this. There's going to be times when you're believing God for something really big, and people are going to be speaking negative about that into your life. They're going to come against you. And some of them will be your closest friends and family. They don't mean to be negative, but they can't get behind you, you know. They're like, oh, it ain't going to happen. You know, don't expect that to happen. And there's going to become time when you got to get away from the crowd. And you got to get alone as David did and just have a breakthrough moment where you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm telling you, there's been so many times in my life where I had to shut off the negative and shut off from the outside and just get alone with the God. I tell you what, you get news about your baby, you'll get alone with God and get a breakthrough. You get news about your marriage, you'll get alone and get a breakthrough. You get news about something that's going on, tragic, and you want to go to a different level, you'll get alone with God. God, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. God, I'm believing you for the impossible. God, I'm believing you that you're going to sustain. God, I'm believing you, you're going to restore. You're going to heal. God, I'm believing you, you're going to make things that seem impossible come to life impossible. There's been times I've been driving down the road, having breakthrough moments in my car, and people look over there and say, what's going on crazy in that guy's car? Don't mess with me that day. I am having a breakthrough. Me and God are having a talk, and I'm learning to encourage myself before the Lord. I'm telling you, every level of faith will challenge you to have that breakthrough moment in your life. Can you encourage the Lord? Can you encourage yourself in the Lord? That's where it happens. Look at our last verse here, Hebrews 11:1. It's our foundational text for this series. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Present tense. Now faith is alive. Now faith is an operation. Now faith is going on in my life right now. The question is not, have you believed? Now the question moves, do you believe? Present tense, do you believe? It's a now faith. It helps me to see ahead, that even when I don't see it, faith becomes the evidence that God, you're on the move. Even when I don't see the answer, I see God standing before me. Even when I don't see the problem solved, I see God waiting right there. Even when I'm walking through the darkest of my valleys, I see God is standing right there. It's the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of what I can't see in the natural, I see in the spiritual. That God, you are in control. Will you live by faith? Let me ask you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads this morning, the question is, have you believed? Have you believed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he died for your sins? If you say yes to that, then you're almost there. Second question is, have you confessed it with your mouth? You believe it in your heart and you confess it out loud. And today we won't do anything to embarrass you or to single you out, but I want to make sure you have a chance to respond. The first step of faith is this response, is do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? And you say, I'm willing today to make Jesus Christ my Lord. If that's you, raise your hand right now, quickly. Let me see it. Come on, raise it quickly. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see those hands in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? You're ready today. Today's your day to respond in faith. Come on, by faith, reach out to Jesus today. If that's you, raise it one more time if you haven't done it yet. Thank you. I see it. All right, let's say this prayer together. If you raised your hands, I want you to say this prayer with me. If you're online as well, say this prayer with us today. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you and I will follow you all my days in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Come on now.